everyone, I'm Brian Conley of Hunters HD Gold, and you're listening to Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. This podcast takes a deep dive into what it takes to be a match director, manufacturer, sponsored shooter, or just an everyday shooter trying to win his or her first major. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Welcome back to another episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Today I'm sitting down with a friend of mine I met a couple of years ago, and his name is DJ Robertson, who does a lot of stuff online, does all kinds of different things. We'll find out here in a second. How you doing, DJ?
I'm good. Beautiful Odessa, I'm here.
Yes.
Didn't have the best day today, but we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Well, it happens, and you know, it's one of those things that every shooter has different experiences, mm-hmm. had different matches, and Dragon's Cup is notoriously known as one of the better matches on the circuit with the match director, Billy, that puts a lot of things together. And with that comes with, if you're not a high experience level doing a lot of national type level events, then there's some things here that can be definitely difficult in different situations that people aren't ready for. So, you know, shooting happens, and as long as everybody's safe and nobody gets hurt, then everybody goes home smiling, everybody's good. So, but you know, how long have you been, you know, when did you first start getting around a gun? Is this something you did just recently, or how long has this been going on for?
As far as USPSA and IDPA competition,
just in general, when did you pick up your first gun?
My first, probably about 16, 17.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know I'm originally from Washington, D.C.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. A lot of my family are former law enforcement.
Oh, okay.
Grandma's in the Army, mom's in the military. So, you know, being from D.C. and my first introduction to firearms, being from them, you know, I kind of felt like all this time that it was strictly for job purposes. There was no other, you know, activities outside of going to the range.
And, right.
You know, as I grew older, kind of started my family, I relocated to Florida. I've been out here about 4 or 5 years in Florida. It took about 1 year in for me to realize that, you know, this is a different world. I got adapted to it. I kind of learned a little bit more about the sport. Took a year just kind of going to the range and getting warmed up, figuring out, you know, a lot about the sport, the divisions, how everything works. And then it was the second year I actually went out and shot my first USPSA match, which was October 2021 was my first match.
Wow. Well, we got a lot to uncover from what you said so far. Yeah. So in DC, where you grew up, what year was that around the time you remember that? What years do you remember the most? What years?
I mean, starting from 10, I remember pretty early coming home, seeing mom put the belt up, lock the gun up, and all that stuff.
Was there a lot of gun education, or was it more like just don't touch this?
Yeah, it was minimal education, more so don't touch this. Mom was the first one to kind of take me out around that 12, 13 age to the range, kind of go out there and shoot, get accustomed to it, you know. And even then, you know, at that time, she was more so, I guess, feared, you know, that young boy would just kind of run and pick this up and go play. So, you know, she instilled a lot of the rules in me early.
Okay.
But again, I knew nothing outside of work and firearms that there was a sport that you could compete.
What did she do in D.C.?
She was a police officer.
So she was a police officer.
Yes.
And your grandmother was in the military.
Correct.
So how did your grandmother feel about firearms? Because some people get out of the military and don't want anything to do with firearms.
Yeah,
that's why
I
asked that question.
It's crazy. She was kind of anti-guns.
Okay.
You know, she served her time. I mean, this was during the 60s.
Yeah.
Different time for her, you know, being a black woman in that, you know, in the Army. She was in the Army. My mom was in the military, and then, you know, mom, again, coming from military and then going into the police force, she was a little more, you know, versed and kind of able to educate me on, you know, the do's and don'ts, firearm safety and everything like that. So, you know, initially, grandma kind of had the fear instilled in me of, you know, just stay away, if you will.
Right.
And then, you know, kind of transition, mom was more or less like, here's how you do it.
Okay.
Here's what you do, here's what you don't do.
She take you out shooting rimfire for the first time, or was it centerfire?
Oh, centerfire. 9mm.
Nice.
Yeah, I was shooting.
So let me ask you this question. I've asked this question to other people before. The first time that gun goes off and you're preteen.
Yeah.
What is that like besides holy cow?
Yeah, I felt it all in my stomach.
I
compare it to the first time I ever touched a motorcycle. You know, you
kind of
felt that power. You realize, okay, this is serious. But, you know, if you control it and do it the right way, it's not that bad. So, you know, that kind of like resonated with me as I grew older. But again, just kind of seeing her using it at work, going to the range, you want to join, that became more of a popular conversation. And, you know, around that 15, 16-year-old age is where I really kind of got accustomed and understood a lot of the rules.
Was she training you to help defend the house if something happened at that age, or was she, were you the man of the house at that age going on?
I was. Okay. And, you know, it was more so from a home defense standpoint.
Okay. Okay.
You know, which for me was kind of a, you know, only if an emergency happens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, that was kind of the only training and rules I had. It's like, well,
right,
here's how you defend yourself if you need to.
Right.
You know, any other time, there's nothing else you can kind of
do because her being a police officer, mm-hmm. she got to see part of DC
during the '80s.
That you didn't know, you might have known about, but you don't really understand about when in the 80s. Nobody cared. Yeah. The kids don't care. I didn't care in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, they see that side out there knowing how, you know, she's having to go to college, she's having to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's areas like, this is just like our house. This could have happened anywhere kind of thing. Well, that's cool. So that's a very good thing that she decided to do that. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Let's jump forward real quick. When you got into competitive shooting, what did she think?
She said, okay, I see you still remember some stuff I taught you.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
She takes credit now.
All the credit. Of course. That's wonderful.
Yeah, she won't let me live it down. She's like, remember who took you out first? Like,
yeah.
You got me introduced. So.
Is your grandmother still around?
Yeah, she is.
So what does she think?
She's excited. She likes to see it. She's like, just down there with those guns. You love them, don't you? And what? I'm like.
Well, and that's cool because she was, you know, she went through the military mm-hmm. at a different level and was like, okay, this is used for this. And I don't have a need for it anymore.
Yep.
And you brought it back to like, yep, we know we have a right to hunt. Mm-hmm. We know we have a right to protect ourselves. Yep. But you brought it back to there's a lot more than A and B that you can actually have fun responsibly mm-hmm. with this tool.
Yeah.
So was she all about it when you first told her about it, or was she kind of on the edge?
Well, you know, she was a little bit uneasy because, mm-hmm. you know, it had been a while since I had honestly shot. You know, I had just relocated. She's like, all right, we're make sure you follow somebody who's been doing this for a while. Now you just keep posting these matches. I see you out there shooting. I'm like, no, right. I mean, these guys, you know, walk you through, you know, and new shooter briefings and everything. Yeah. You know, I'm lucky enough to where I live in Florida, there's a lot of competition going on.
Yes.
A lot of grandmasters.
That's
a lot of
the mecca of competition year round.
Yeah. So,
lucky enough.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to kind of, you know, befriend a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And they kind of just kind of walked me through the process the first year. I initially actually started out going to the range by myself, and then I met a few folks there who would just teach me about shooting, mm-hmm. Just kind of in the range. And then I ended up meeting a Miami-Dade PD police mm-hmm. officer who pretty much had like a training course, but it was more tactical geared.
Okay.
You know, one-handed reload, you know, manipulations, mm-hmm. you out in the grass, do some push-ups, draw and shoot.
Now, before you got in that training, where was your skill level at with that?
I was just standing, shooting at a target.
Okay. And how old were you?
I was probably 31.
Okay. So 31. When you moved to Florida?
Well, when I moved to Florida, it was like 29.
Okay.
So that first year was just kind of right. Like,
What made you want to move to Florida from D.C.?
Oh, man. I always had a remote position working for the government, technical staffing.
What do you do for the government?
Yeah, technical staffing.
What is that?
Just hiring for different programs that they have open. You know, if they need this type of staff, you know, I'll reach out. I think they call it. Headhunting back in the day.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah.
It's still
in retail management and a lot of doctors and stuff, it's still called mm-hmm. headhunting by the people on the inside. Yeah. So
when you work on like some of the clear roles, you know, higher level technical positions, mm-hmm. it kind of label you as a talent acquisition specialist.
Right. So, did you ever think about going in the military yourself?
You know, to this day, I still kind of consider it, you know?
Really?
Yeah. It's something that I feel like, you know, granted that I'm in the sport now and, you know, I would hate to kind of pull away and delay some of my time mm-hmm. shooting and being able to enjoy the competition side of it. You know, I just kind of feel like, you know, giving that service back, considering, you know, the ladies in my family were able to make that sacrifice and, you know, seeing what it's done for them is kind of, you know, made me a little more keen to really consider it. So.
Wow. So that's, you know, when we're in our young teens, mm-hmm. and we don't know what the heck we're going to do with our life. And we go to school and then we get out of school. You know, a lot of people jump into the military at that point because they don't know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. You've already got kind of a career based already and you're wanting to step back. So does that mean mentally you've kind of got some regrets you didn't do it at a younger age?
I feel like everything happens for a reason, to be honest.
Okay.
You know, I don't know where starting out earlier and joining would have taken me now. You know, I don't know if I would lucky enough to be in Florida. I might have been mm-hmm. based somewhere else, kind of never really got, you know, the gist or understanding of competition shooting as a whole. So, you know, now it's more so for me just kind of looking at things as a whole, you know, kind of siding with the business. Again, I have, you know, kind of civilian work, working mm-hmm. cleared spaces, talking to these, you know, high level folks and, being able to kind of intertwine the two, you know, would kind of be pretty cool to me.
Are you being recruited by them behind the scenes?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Nobody's reached out.
Because you could meet a lot of people like that and say, man, you need to come join this and do this yourself.
Yeah. You know, I've had conversations here and there, but, you know, no one's really kind of hard pressed it. Mm-hmm. It's just been the thought within myself and just seeing, you know, how the family's done.
Okay.
You know, the opportunities that were provided to them.
Right.
You know, being in service. So, you know, definitely something I thought to consider.
Wow. Pretty cool. Yeah. All right. So take me back. You decided to go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
When did you buy your first gun? Was he still in DC when you bought your first gun?
Technically, yes.
Wow. Because it's not easy to buy a gun in DC.
No. And at the time, and back before I moved, I had moved right on the outskirts in Maryland.
Okay.
So still, you know, 10 round mag capacity.
Yeah.
There's a roster.
Yeah.
A gun has to be registered on. There's a 7-day wait period.
Mm-hmm.
This was before all the new HQL stuff and all these things that you have to have, to, you know, buy and conceal. But,
right.
I went out and I bought, the Glock 40. It was a Glock. I can't remember right now.
But right.
It was a Glock. You know, I registered for it. And essentially, it was like you got to wait 7 days. You got to go through this training. You got to do this. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I did everything I needed to and, you know, took it home. And even then.
So you were still, had you moved out or were you staying close to the family when you bought your first gun?
Yeah, still close to the family.
Okay.
Probably about 10 minutes away. Just kind of in an apartment on my own.
You know? Right. Was there like, okay, what you doing now, buying a gun kind of conversation? Or did you already have that discussion before you went to go do it?
It was merely discussed, I'll be honest, you know.
So it was just ask like for forgiveness kind of thing?
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, hey, I mean, I'm here by myself. I'm 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid something happens.
Oh, of course.
You know, I'm young, and you know, but I understand everything that you taught me and, you know, even the rules that I learned before acquiring in Maryland, you know, mm-hmm. were kind of hard pressed on me. So, you know,
because it's neat you say that because you were, you know, what I mean by that, you were around your grandmother and your mom who had just given you rules to kind of stay away from it. And your mom trained you.
Yeah.
Where I'm going with this is that takes away the sensation.
Yeah.
of like you go to a buddy's house,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden somebody pulls out a gun, just going to show it off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you already had that, like, hey,
yeah, I was the one. Oh, wait, let me see that.
I know that.
Drop the mag. Let's clear that.
Let's make sure everything's done right. So you already had that in you. I did the same thing with my son
mm-hmm.
when he was, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. I said, this is what this is. Went through all the stuff and everything else. But that way, if he went to somebody else's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got two choices here.
Right.
One, if you see something handled unsafely,
mm-hmm.
it's time for you to leave.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In the discussion.
Yeah.
And if you don't, there's going to be a bigger price to pay.
Yeah.
I could say that at that age.
Yeah.
But, you know, it took the fantasy away from
mm-hmm.
it. And that's good that your mom did the same thing with you. But, but I don't know if you realize that then, but she took away that mystery.
Excitement.
The mystery, the excitement. You know, you see stuff on the movies and like, well, let me draw it up, you know, and hold it like that too, and feel like somebody in the movie. She took that away, so
exactly.
Which is a smart thing to do with raising kids. So that's pretty cool, So you go buy your own gun, and is this something where you immediately went to the gun range? Did you have other friends that bought guns? Explain to me what that looked like when you started training for the first time.
Yeah, well, back home, you know, I had a roommate.
Okay,
so you know, I would tell him, you know, I ought to go shoot.
Was he a gun guy?
Not really. Again, back home, it's just really just kind of suppressed to, you know, if you're not law enforcement, if you're not this, and it's like, well, they always say, well, what do you need a gun for? And it's like, well, bad guys have guns, you know?
Right.
So I always felt like the initial learning and testament was for home defense.
Okay.
And, you know, with me moving on my own, I felt like I needed, you know, had that right to defend myself.
Were you able to train your roommate on certain things, how to handle it and stuff? Or was he like, just keep it away from me kind of
thing? No, initially he was a little like, you know, what you got going on? And I just was like, listen. Guns don't kill people. Like, stupid mistakes with guns kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And here's, you know, what you do. Here's what you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of got that clear. And he was understood. We went to the range a few times. You know, we even got into a lot of paintballing. So, you know, same kind of rules apply there. You know, obviously you don't want to flag. And,
right.
you know, holster is like kind of your muzzle cover. So,
right.
you know, we kind of intertwine that. And I think that's what allowed him to kind of segue into it a little bit more.
Did you do a lot of sports growing up?
Yeah. I played basketball, track, and football. I was a 3-sport athlete in high school.
Wow.
Yeah,
what'd you do in football?
I play wide receiver.
Oh,
yeah,
fast.
Got a scholarship.
Scholarship.
Yeah.
Where to?
I went to Duke University.
Yeah,
Pennsylvania.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you ever try to take it any further, or just realize there's some differences there?
I mean,
because everybody's body, when they get to a certain point, everybody realizes my body just isn't like this body.
You take that one hit coming across that middle, and you really start to evaluate things. You know,
a buddy of mine, Marlon Humphrey, that plays for the Ravens.
Okay,
you know, he played for Alabama, and he got dropped, took care of him and his family with cell phones back when I was in retail. I've known him. I've known Marlon since he was 3 foot high breaking phones every weekend. But you realize there's a point you get to, and this is like, okay, this is something different than somebody else.
Yep.
Did you have somebody actually? Did you take the hit and realize it wasn't for you? Or did you have somebody say that you weren't the right size or speed? How did that overcome?
The size was there. I was about 6'2", 180, taking protein shakes, working out with the strength coach. It just was him in motion one day, right behind the slot receiver.
Yeah.
They hiked the ball 3 yards in a slant, and that middle linebacker was just waiting, hungry. And I mean, I didn't know I took two steps, but I caught the ball, and the ball wasn't in my hands when I hit the ground. So it was one of those ones that it was like, let's go back and reevaluate things.
Okay.
I mean, I finished the season, obviously still played, but it was something that I just told myself. I said, well, obviously this would be a dream of mine. This would be ideal to make it, professionally. But, there's other avenues, and I just kind of, took my talents back to the classroom, if you will.
Right. What'd you do in track?
Track was more so, I didn't really run the 55 meter. I did some hurdles. I did 55 meter hurdles.
Wow.
I did high jump and I did long jump.
Long jump's cool.
Yeah.
That's a technique that's, the Olympics, Summer Olympics comes around every once in a while. I'll watch track and field
because
that's a different kind of sport altogether. That's a neat thing to get in those long jump stuff like that. That's fun. How far did you jump long jump?
Long jump. I want to say somewhere like 12, 13 feet, maybe.
Holy cow.
I remember high jump because you can come in at certain points.
Yeah.
So, I'd always start out, Dr. Barr, like 5'2", I jump at 5'2", 5'4", 5'6", 5'8".
Yeah.
And I get up to 6 feet, knock it down once, and you get one more shot.
That's right.
If you knock it down again, that's where you kind of end off. And I clear 6 feet, but I couldn't get over 6'2". And I remember this guy, he watched me knock down a bar at 6 feet. He came in, somebody else went 6'2". Guy came in at 6'4" and cleared it. And I looked and I said, what? Something else I'm going to have to put to the back burner and figure out down the road. So it was good, to keep in shape, obviously, in season, in high school, with all the other sports.
Yeah.
Basketball playing. I play small forward, a little bit of point guard.
Right.
At that time, all the tall guys, they push to the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But now they just look in the NBA and it's like point guards, 6'3" and up.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
The whole sport has changed.
Yeah, completely. So just a little bit of, I felt like practice for football. Football was my first love.
Right. I love football.
Because I came in, pound ball, 65 pounds.
Well, I grew up in Tuscaloosa. So when you're born in Tuscaloosa, your body is held out like Lion King towards Denny Stadium.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. You're pretty much there.
Yeah.
So you had some setbacks, though.
Yeah.
And you didn't let those setbacks define you.
No, definitely not.
So you overcame objections at a very young age.
Yeah. I was,
how do you work through that at such a young age? Because there's people that do certain things and they end up in the military.
Yeah, no, literally. It can happen that way, definitely.
How did you personally overcome those rejections at that age? Was that something you got through with your parents and your grandmother? Is that something they walked through or on your own?
Seeing them, being strong, kind of coming through the time and, during the 80s in D.C. and early 90s and kind of everything that was going on and, just being resilient. Mom was, I had one of the strict moms, if you'll say that. So, she made sure, I was following the straight line and, I was doing what I was supposed to. And, maybe a little bit of fear tied in with, not wanting to upset the family was something that kind of kept me on point. And, just being able to stay focused, was more so my goals.
I get that. I remember when my son was younger and, ADHD medicine was a big deal back in the 2000s. And the doctor said, you got two choices. You can do ADHD or you can do fear.
Yeah.
Or you can do ADHD with training. ADHD is not the solution. The drugs are not the solution. He's got to do a mixture of both. And we chose to do fear.
So
I can understand. Well, it's not scary. It's just reality. We've all been through this. I mean, I know I've got, squirrel, I'm all over the place. You can hear when I podcast, I go all over the place in the same way. But scare tactics is not the right way, but it's still, you have to lay down those ground rules. And it's not, you know, if you get in trouble, you're going to go in the corner for 3 seconds.
Right.
No, hell no. Yeah. We're fixing to, you're going to wish you weren't living at this moment. If you break that, if you go past that line, you're going to second guess your whole life choices. Yeah. So I understand going through that myself is how I was raised by my mom and dad the same way. Mm-hmm. More my dad, because mom was, she was the pushover, but dad was the one who's like, what if I get home, it's over with this conversation. I'm like, so, oh, yeah, it was major scare tactics. Well, let's take a quick break. And I want to jump back into the gun part of it.
Okay.
Because I think that's important. But I want to get a baseline of just how you got started. Yeah, and thanks for sharing that with me. And let's take a quick break for one of our sponsors. This week's podcast is brought to you by Kona Gold. Kona Gold is a premier lifestyle brand for those who work hard and play harder. There are many hemp companies out there that get lost in the crowd, but Kona Gold sets the gold standard with its premier line of products. When traveling all around with a magical mystery tour to different matches, I travel around with lots of different flavors, including pink grapefruit, candy apple, and vanilla cherry. Make sure to stop by and get some for yourself. They are all zero calories, zero sugar, use organic hemp, and are THC and CBD free. Competitive shooters love them because there's no shakes, no headaches, and no crash. When you order from KonaGoldHemp.com, make sure to use discount code HUNTERSHD for another 20% off. You know, and we talk about scare, you know, like I said, scare tactics from my dad. Mm-hmm. Was your father around much to make, you know, was he a disciplinarian as well?
Yeah, he would, you know, him and mom separated pretty early, but, you know, if mom wasn't, you know, lined up with the belt, you'd call dad and he'd come enforce it.
I can report that. See, that's wonderful because I got divorced from Zach's mom when he was 4 going on 5 kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we co-parented in a way where if he got in trouble at his mom's house, he was in double trouble at my house.
Exactly.
And same thing. And if he got in trouble at my house, then his mom took care of it as well. So he didn't get to play the parents again. He didn't have the fun divorced kids usually have. Yeah. So we did the same thing on my son. So I can understand what that's like when you don't get to play your parents against each other. It's like, kind of like, this is not the way this was told to me. It was going to be fun if my parents got divorced, right. Which is not ever good for parents to get divorced with kids, but life happens.
It
does. Society has changed it and made it more acceptable. And it's easier to get divorced than it is to get married sometimes. I don't understand it, but that's how life works. But so you're in a situation, you bought a gun. Did you go ever practice up in the DC area or in the Northern Maryland area?
You know, I'd go to the range once a month.
Okay.
Tops. You know, I just want to stress, I really wasn't as skilled as, you know, today's time.
Yeah.
It was just more so, you know, buy 2 targets.
Yep.
100 rounds.
Yep.
Try to hit the middle.
Yep.
You know, grip techniques and things like that weren't really, you know, taught or pushed on me. Mm-hmm. You know, rangers just don't want to see you shooting a roof of the ground. So.
Yes, sir.
I was kind of, you know.
So there was never anybody there that said, hey, you know, care about the, you know, you want to shoot a match or something like that at that time at all. So nothing in the ranges like that. No. It was all strict, you know, follow the rules, eyes, ears, and don't shoot the side of the, you know, don't shoot our range.
Exactly.
Cool. But you decided to move to Florida.
Yep.
Game changer.
Yeah.
And how long, once you were in Florida, did you realize there was more? What did that look like? Did you just go to the same kind of shooting range down in Florida?
Well, honestly, I went to one of the ranges with, you know, the same firearm I had. Mm-hmm. You know, I was shooting. And again, I kind of met some folks at the range because I realized how easy it was to go and, you know, hop out and shoot. I was like, wow, this range is everywhere, you know? There's outdoor ranges. I'd never shot outdoors before I moved to Florida.
Right.
And then from there, you know.
You realize how hot it is, too. Yeah,
the next day over, you know, you see some police training. And
okay.
I'm like, hey, you know, my mom was a cop. Hey, you know, I learned this. Here's what I'm shooting. It's like, oh, okay. We're training for competition matches. Like, what do you mean competition? You got a job to shoot. That's your job. What do you mean?
Right.
And I found out that there's some officers out there to shoot matches.
Right.
So from there, I was
this is Miami.
Yeah, this is Miami.
Which is pretty tight-lipped around the gun area, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You get outside, outskirts, it's all good. It but Miami itself, especially Miami-Dade.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a lot of training going on.
Not a lot. you know, I was lucky enough to travel a little bit down south, a Homestead area.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Homestead Range.
Homestead Training Center. I went out there, saw a couple cops in the next bag.
Yeah.
Exchanged phone numbers, and, you know, I got a text from, you know, cops. Hey, I'm renting another bay. I'm doing some, you know, training classes. You want to come out?
Right.
Sure, why not? You know, you need 200 rounds. I'm like, oh, all right, let me go
I need to stop by the store real quick.
So, you know, that was my first, like I said, introduction to like the competition side.
On the tactical side too, kind of as well.
Really, yep. More tactical. And that kind of leads me to, you know, the next, how I got into the competition side. Mm-hmm. Because after a year of that, tactical training, you know, putting the gun behind your leg, reloading off your boot, and, mm-hmm. You know, coming from concealment, that's what really kind of kicked in. I'm like, well, okay, I'm ready to defend myself, you know, from concealment if anything ever happens. I have a concealed now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've trained on this for a year. Like, where's this taking me? I'm just paying people to, you know, I'd meet different folks that come out to his classes that would tell mm-hmm. me about other trainers in the area. And then from there, it was like, you're at a competition shooter. So I went all the way from Homestead, down south, all the way up north to Markham Park, which is where South Florida Pistol Club host a lot of their practice.
Okay.
Practices and matches on the weekend.
Okay.
And then there's some matches at Homestead that I later found out in Volusia and OK Corral.
Yep.
No, further west out towards Naples. So really, it was, about a year of training with him, meeting and learning and kind of experiencing different styles of training mm-hmm. with the firearm is where I kind of found out, like, competition side is where I want to be. This is fun.
So take me back to the first time you went to a competition. Was it IDPA, USPSA? Which one was it?
First match was USPSA.
Wow.
Yep.
And went with the same gun you had back from Maryland, or you bought another gun since then?
Of course not. I shoot competition now. I got to get the best gun out there. I did a little research.
Oh, tell me about that. So what research did that look like?
This was the online gurus telling you about ported guns and why they shoot flat and this and that. So
shooting flat and ported. That sounds like staccato. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get there yet.
Okay. Because I know Tony real well, and that's some big things he always talks about. That's the reason I use his buzzwords.
So for me, there was the P80 phase kind of popped out. And
okay.
There was a lot of online retailers that push, you know, aftermarket barrels, barrel ports, you know, mm-hmm. Different setups, you know, ghost, you know, the, I'm losing my brain right now.
It's all good.
The
triggers?
Not the triggers, okay. The connectors, disconnectors. Sorry.
Okay, okay.
You know, oh, you got to get the disconnector, you got to get this trigger, you got to get this recoil system, which ammo are you shooting in? I mean, this is all like, you know, waterfall of information.
Yes.
I'm just online buying. So I ended up building out a Glock 34.
Okay.
Zafiri precision slide, a ported barrel, you know, Zev internals.
Yeah.
Timney trigger.
Oh, great. You had a Glock that cost base price around $500-$600. Ended up being $2,400 of a gun. Continue.
Yeah. I'm learning about different ammo. I can run different springs while I'm gun jamming, what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I go to my first match. You know, I bought a red dot, obviously, as well. And I'm like, oh, I'm carry optics. And I go out and I shoot. Into that stage, you know, RO's like, you see that gun? You got ports in that barrel, buddy. So, yeah, I know. I want to shoot flat. He's like, you're in open if you do that. I'm like, wait, what does that mean? And then I go and I see the open guns. I'm like, whoa, this is not where I need to be. Let me go home and, you know, get my...
Can I get another barrel?
Yeah, you know. So I think I switched out to the stock 34 barrel.
Okay.
Ran that gun for a while. But again, I had done so much internally. It was mm-hmm. like I couldn't even backtrack to fix.
Did you join the USPSA when you first got in, or did you wait a little bit?
It was about 4 or 5 months in.
Okay.
Once I realized scoring and how everything worked, mm-hmm. Read the book a few times, kind of understood the rules, and really made my...
It took 4 or 5 times to even get started on the rule set.
Yeah.
You have to really shoot to go do that, but continue.
And you know, it was from there I went, and I think my next purchase was a Canic TP9 SFX.
Oh, you make Neil's proud.
Yeah.
Continue.
So went out with the Canic. I actually bought this online.
Yeah.
Went to my local gun shop.
Yeah.
Came in, signed papers. Yeah. Boom, boom. Took it home. Went to the range. Got some practice with it. This is when I found out about, you know, Federal Syntec ammo. So.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this shoot's soft. This is nice.
Yeah.
Went out to the range. That was my first match, October 21 with the Canic.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And what do you remember what level match it was?
I was level one USPSA match in Markham Park up north.
Yeah.
Yep. Went out there, you know, shot. I had joined South Florida Pistol Club. You know, that's when I officially, you know, became a USPSA member.
Okay.
Went out, found out about the local club, met a lot of guys out there, really kind of got into it from that point. And, you know, from there, it was I haven't really got experience with irons, so maybe I should go switch to irons. And, you know, October 21 led to, again, a lot of online fun and research and figuring out where I want to land. And, you know, this word 2011 kept, you know, popping up on my feed and everywhere. And I'm like, whoa. These are nice. And I see the price tag. I'm like,
these are nice.
Yeah. Let me figure out, you know, the way to make this work.
So, right.
That's when I was introduced into staccato.
Wow. And did you know anybody else then? Or are you just kind of, were you one of the few guys of your group that has staccatos? What did that look like for you going in that route? Because the staccato is a great firearm, but it's kind of a cliquish thing that you know different people are using. So who was your motivation to start off with a staccato? Was it because a lot of police officers use staccato? Mm-hmm. Was that where you heard heard stuff from first, or was it somebody else?
Honestly, no. First person I ever seen with staccato online is a kind of gun tuber guy named by the name of Mike the Great.
Okay.
You know, he had one kind of thing on T&E, and I'm just watching this gun cycle. I'm like, man, I gotta get that. So exchange a few messages. You know, you'll be a SHOT Show, right? I'm like, no, what's that? SHOT Show? Telling me there's a trade? Like, what? So, you know, I signed up. At this time, I kind of started the company. I figured out what I wanted to do in the sport.
Which was?
Introduce folks to this a lot earlier.
Okay.
You know, that's kind of how I started Guns and Butter. Started out as a joke. I'm going to be smooth as butter. You know, I got the guns. It'll flow.
Smooth like everybody, as butter.
Yeah, that's where I was in my head. I was like, oh, I got this, you know?
So rhythm and blues and not the rap type.
No. Just nice and smooth, you know?
Nice and smooth.
And, you know, some of the athletic past I had.
I like smooth as butter, but guns and butter rings too. Yeah, but continue.
I think my athletic past kind of, you know, aided me into feeling like I'd be able to transition a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, having long legs, you know, being able to go from position to position.
Right.
You know, I'd always learned about dry firing like around that November time. So, you know, at that point, I stayed in Maryland. Reloads, transitions, practicing. And, you know, again, when I got my first staccato, it was iron sight model.
Yep.
So I ran that for some time. And I was
that
like,
put you in, I guess, limited?
Limited minor.
Limited minor.
Which is where I really learned about the sport.
Okay.
Like, all right, so I'm already at a disadvantage here. Let me speed this up and get more accurate and, you know, really make my hits count.
Right.
So I did that for a while. And then I realized, I'm like, I need to go back to the red dot phase.
Okay.
There's no way that I can, you know, feel better about myself without using a red dot.
Okay.
I just felt like it was a little bit faster, a little easier. And, you know, it's funny now. I go back and forth from irons here and there. But, you know, I just left shooting red dots at this point.
So you made a comment earlier about you wanted to start a business around the shooting sports.
Yes.
And introduce people to the shooting sports at an earlier phase of their career in shooting.
Correct.
How would you want to do that? Was it through YouTube or through a business? What kind of business platform plan did you have?
Well, initially I said, well, look, let me just go ahead and start a corporation. You know, we'll transfer and move this down the road to a nonprofit, you know, really establish myself with companies, you know, start a YouTube, Instagram, kind of get all the social media platforms moving. And from there, you know, I'll align myself to build, work out, start a team, kind of have folks really get an understanding of kind of, you know, where I started in Florida, the initial learning of competition shooting, and kind of, you know, move them with Godspeed along the process at an earlier age.
Okay.
Because I knew, you know, obviously a lot of people from back home, but they didn't necessarily have the understanding that this even existed, you know, even to this day.
That's
correct. Some people send me videos. Is this you? Yeah, it's me. It's my gun page. You don't recognize me anymore. So.
Right.
From there, you know, it was, you know, the interest was kind of drawn and, you know, they'll still get pulled in different directions. Like, oh man, you got to get this gun. I'm like, I can't compete with that. I need something like this or I need something like this. But what do you mean? Here's the book. Send you over a PDF with your email. Take a look. Just read the rules. Any questions, ask me. So
you were based strictly on the competition side of this.
Yes.
You were not trying to just be a gun reviewer and just throw a bunch of information out there. You're in a situation where you want to introduce people to competition.
Strictly competition.
That's important.
Practical shooting, yeah.
In certain groups of people that you wanted to focus on? Or is it more of a just anybody who will listen?
Anybody who'd listen.
Okay.
You know, to be honest, because obviously, you know, there's not too many African-Americans in the sport.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, you know, I kind of started out there, but at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, I wanted to keep things open. Women, you know, whatever race, whatever sex, listen, if you're interested,
right,
let's talk about it.
You know,
your passion and your interest, once you get an idea and, you know, I kind of explain a little how I got started and, you know, here's what you should do, here's what you shouldn't do. That alone will tell me your interest level and your passion for it will continue to move you through the sports, through the ranks.
Right.
Or you'll, you know, kind of phase out. And, you know, obviously got some people excited starting out and they realize the cost. And then you got some people who justify and make those sacrifices to get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, I myself, I was just kind of so, you know, head first into it. It was nothing that could stop me.
Well, you had your competition from growing up.
Yeah, literally.
You had all these sports that you did. And then you get at a certain age and you're like, well, how can I be competitive at the age I'm at with all the traditional sports that are out there? So you're in a situation where you found another, you know, it went from a hobby to a sport for you, correct?
Correct.
So when it first started, it was kind of a hobby.
Yep.
When did you realize in your mind or your attitude or your demeanor that this is no longer a hobby? This is a sport. Mm-hmm. When did that come to your mind?
It was probably, I'd say, about May of last year.
Oh, this soon.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm still kind of new in this. I'm still growing. I'm still learning.
Right.
You know, I'm taking it a day at a time. But
when did Guns and Butter start, though?
That was probably February 2022.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. Actually, no, a little bit before SHOT Show.
Okay.
Right about December 21.
So was that your ticket to get into SHOT Show being with the
new company?
New company, that?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
I think it was media, actually.
Media. I said, yeah, media gets in. There's a lot of people in media that get in, mm-hmm. and they're opened up like, whoa, there's so much more here.
Exactly.
So this pack up, when you went to your first SHOT Show, mm-hmm. and everything's out of the blue, what was that like?
It was amazing. I mean, I was taken back, but obviously all the weapons and guns that were available,
but it
was just a lot that I just,
right.
you know, I really, really was amazed.
Right.
I think for me, it was just talking with these folks, realizing their position, their stance, you know, how serious and sincere everyone was.
Right. Were you making a beeline for any certain company when you first got there?
Well, yeah, that's kind of how, you know, the staccato thing
started. Okay, that's why I was asking.
From there, it was just more or less like, okay, well, we need ammo. You know, we need optics.
Yeah.
We need lights. We need holsters. And
you went into it with media, but almost as a way to market and find out how to get more involved mm-hmm. with these other companies
yep.
to help promote them, and they help promote you, vice exactly. versa, correct?
Yeah.
Did you feel that you were successful on your first trip?
Oh, yeah, very successful. You know, I learned a lot. Coming home, you know, nice fat notebook of cards and just kind of calling people and just picking their brain, really getting an understanding and trying to figure out the best way for me to you know, expand and grow in the space.
Right. Did you feel you had an advantage as a minority coming in to open the doors for certain people that didn't have, since there wasn't a strong presence mm-hmm. with that?
I definitely feel like I tried to use that to an advantage, but mm-hmm. at one point I kind of like, you know, sidetracked and was like, hey, I'm just trying to get into the sport, learn more, and just kind of grow. You know, I realized, you know, there isn't, like you said, a strong presence here.
That's right.
You know, we can kind of use that to work together, or, you know, we can kind of just keep it, you know, even Steven and just, you know, really learn and grow together.
Have you had friends that you've talked to that get into the sport and realize this is not for them? That, you know, it's just too, you know, too aggressive of a competition?
Like I said, everybody's passion is different.
I agree with that statement 100%.
Yeah. Well, once you get into it, and, you know, you shoot a match and, oh man, I sucked. I did this. And, you know, to this day, you know, I'll show you DMs of guys like, oh, I'm nervous about my first match. I'm like, no, don't be nervous. You know, watch a couple people run the stage, you know, get your plan together, you know, make sure you don't break any rules, you know, learn about the 180 and, you know, bring out the trigger when you reload and, you know, everything else, you know, keeps the sport safe and just keep going after it, you know?
Cool. Well, let's take one more break.
Sure.
Then I want to finish up talking about where you are now, mm-hmm. what you're doing now in the shooting sports and what you're doing through YouTube mm-hmm. and where it's grown. And what you've experienced through getting started over the past 3 years and kind of finish this up. Sound good?
Perfect.
All right, let's dig into the break from our last sponsor. This week's podcast is also sponsored by Make Ready Nutrition. They have 3 products available for shooters that are 2 Alpha Performance to drink before hammer down, 2 Alpha Recovery that I use personally as a meal replacement for lunch with 34 grams of protein and is low carb. 2 Alpha Ammunition, which is next level hydration plus energy and amino acids for shooters, gym workouts, or pushing your body in sports and recreation. Whether you're in the Texas heat or in Arizona desert, 2 Alpha Ammunition works harder and endures longer. This unique formula is manufactured for shooters by shooters, to replenish your body with electrolytes and hydration while helping aid in muscle recovery and providing fast energy. For 25% off your next order, go to makereadynutrition.com/discount/huntershd or enter huntershd at checkout for 25% off your entire order. makereadynutrition.com. Are you ready? So you did SHOT Show for the first time. Yep. You made all these contacts. You did all these experiences, meeting all the professional shooters, I'm sure, with all the different booths you went to. You started running all these people. You started, you know, you started feeling like, okay, I see the vision.
Yep.
I see everything where this can play out. Mm-hmm. Continue.
So, you know, again, just kind of building those relationships with these companies. You know, again, at the time I was still working, doing, you know, my business, you know, aside the government staffing.
Right.
So, you know, I felt like, well, if I'm the CEO of my company, I want to talk to the CEO of other companies. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to make that relationship. And, you know, then from there, they'll connect me with the marketing team and different folks like that. it was probably about March when everything kind of came together. And I'm like,
March of
22.
Could continue.
You know, a couple months after SHOT, you know, after not getting email responses and, you know, following back up. Hey, remember we spoke? Remember this? You know, a lot of people kind of, you know, are excited about what I was doing. At the time, I didn't know if anyone else was doing this. I didn't know, you know, any other folks that have, you know, attempted to try. You know, there's a lot of trainers. There's a lot of, obviously, competition shooters I found. But, you know, as I kind of grew and met more folks who, you know, shoot competitively, it really resonated with me that there's no way I can join this sport this late and not provide the opportunity for people, whether it's of color or age, whatever the case may be, to learn and know about the sport. At least you know about it. Oh, I know a guy who shoots. You know, if you're not interested, fine. But, you know, that word of mouth will work out for you. And, you know, there's someone out there that's as passionate and will be as interested, you know.
Do you find yourself as more of a Second Amendment advocate because of this as well?
Definitely. You know, obviously moving to Florida, you know, I really kind of...
Welcome to the free state.
I really kind of was taken back and I'm like, you know what? I never really looked at things this way. And, you know, again, in DC with all the politics and everything, it's really like, it's stern and you kind of limit yourself in your thoughts and, you know, being able to kind of open up and see all this outside of, you know, again, just law enforcement, tactical military training. I'm like, well, why is this not happening back home? You know,
right.
How can I help these guys find out about the sport, you know, travel and, you know, DC, Maryland, Virginia are all, you know, kind of touching each other. So, you know, some cats from DC and Maryland, you know, maybe they have to go out Virginia or go out Southern Maryland, but, you know, make that drive, take that hour, 2 hour drive and go out there and get an experience and really understand, you know, what you can and can't do. Obviously some of the laws are, you know, still in place, but, ways around everything, obviously, you know, legal ways around everything.
Well, that's why we have limited 10.
Yeah. For some of those guys, right? Yeah, because the mag capacity thing was something that kind of bothered a lot of folks.
Of course.
And, you know, it's like, well, you can't purchase it in Maryland, but if you purchase it in Virginia, you can possess it. So, you know, go to Virginia gun shows, get everything you need for your matches.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yep, because, you know, gun shows, you can go buy magazines, it's not an issue. And still, when you go to gun shows, you still got to do the 44-73. It's not like you can walk into a gun show and buy
a
fully automatic weapon and walk out like it's easy. So the education part is there's true background checks have already been happening for years. We're not enforcing the laws that we already have on the books.
Exactly.
If we were hard on crime and hard on what happens and nobody just got a slap on the wrist for robbing a convenience store with a gun, then things would stop.
Yeah.
Jails would be full. We'd probably be building more jails until we got over the hump of people realizing there's consequences for their actions.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Right now, there's no consequences. Yeah. So where are you at now? What's going on in your world today? We're in, you know, new year. New things are happening. This is your first Dragons Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on in your world? Is it just a whirlwind? Is it all kicked in at once?
It's still a little bit of a whirlwind. Things are starting to settle down. I'm really starting to, you know.
People are recognizing you now.
Yeah, I know. And it's kind of weird because I'm like, man, I was running around SHOT Show. Hey, let me tell you about what I want to do.
Yep.
You know, kind of just pitching the idea and really kind of trying to, you know, saturate and, you know, build out my contacts and, you know, connections in the space.
Yeah.
So now it's like a all right, you know, I guess it's working. I mean, you know, it's motivating to continue.
People want to take their picture with you now.
Yeah. Hopefully soon enough, yeah, I'll get a bunch more requests. I'm all ready for it. I'll never say no. You see me, come say hi, I promise.
Please. Exactly.
You know, so again, it's still a bit of a whirlwind. You know, learning the USPSA and the rules and everything like that, the politics, if you will, within the sport.
Does it bother you about the politics in the sport?
A little bit.
Or are you just one of those guys, just let me shoot, leave me alone?
I feel like that. And I'm okay. Like, you know, we all need to just
there's two
along.
Sides of it. Once you start looking behind the curtain and realize what's going on, there's two choices to make here. Mm-hmm. One, shut the curtain.
Yeah.
Or two, do I need to get involved with that? Shut the curtain.
Yeah.
So where are you at on that?
Right now, I'm still looking back there.
Out of curiosity?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, peeking it. Like, okay, did I hear that? All right, we should be good.
Is this really happening right now?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, just kind of, like I said, settling in from the whirlwind.
Yeah.
You know, I've been running the 2011 now for about a year.
Yeah.
Got a red dot on there. I found out again, I'm open minor. So it was kind of like I relearned when I initially shot with Irons, limited minor. So I'm like,
but you're excited about May 1st.
Man.
May 1st is your day.
May 1st. I am super excited.
And that is limited optics.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what you've been waiting for.
Yep, indeed.
Continue. I
mean, just having conversations with Jake and Yi and, you know, even before May 1st, that was where I really realized. I said, well, listen, you know, I went to this tour on Staccato's range, you know, home base.
And
this guy sold 30,000 pistols last year. I mean, I know a lot may be on the LE side, but... Mm-hmm. Let's get 10% to join the sport. You know, that's an extra 3,000 people we can get out here. And we don't all want to shoot against, you know, open major guys,
right.
Big comps and, you know, gas pedals and stuff. It's a little bit scary for some of us new guys. And, you know, coming
Well, you experienced it yourself.
Yeah.
You got bumped open.
Oh, man. Immediately.
Yeah. You went from like, hey, I'm here to the bottom.
Yeah.
like last in open.
Exactly.
Because you weren't competitive.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So limited optics is really where you see the sport getting ready to grow based on your friends and everybody, your relationships you built with people that use limited optics guns, correct?
Yes, sir. And I'm just, like I said, uber excited, you know, conversations with Yi. When is this happening? And I think it was February was probably my first official big match, if you will.
Yep.
I shot the Caribbean Open in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Which is an experience.
It's an amazing match. I haven't been there yet, but I've been asked to go down there so many times.
You'll enjoy it.
Oh, I love Puerto Rico. Yeah.
2 days, 10 stages each day. It was a great time, you know, getting out there and again, seeing more and more shooters, learning where everyone's from, kind of, you know, in my brain positioning where everyone's located, you know, geography. I was like, all right, well, this is something that.
So you also found out there's a second family with this.
Oh, yeah.
Is that exciting to you?
It's super exciting because, you know, everybody kind of just took me in under the wing and, you know, really painted the picture of, you know, what you should focus on and what you shouldn't focus on. You know, the tactics, the dry fire, you know, learning the game is what's going to excel you. You know, if you're interested, you know, this is what you'll do. If you just want to come out and shoot, have a good time, great. But again, you know, I'm competitive. I want to win.
Right.
I want to come out and shoot. So.
Right.
You know, I went in Puerto Rico, and that's when I shot open minor.
Okay.
So, you know, I was still at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Right.
But, you know, I was just focused on getting my hits.
Right.
You know, making this match work for me and, you know, getting through the stage plans, really learning how to walk the stage, how to maneuver it, how to shoot it. And, you know, taking all that knowledge from the guys I learned back home in South Florida Pistol Club. You know, just kind of twirling it all together. And, you know, here I am now. I got 7 shooters nationwide on the team, you know. Few sponsors, we got jerseys, you know, it's really starting to click. So, I mean, I'm just getting started. So, I'm super excited for the future.
That's amazing. Have you taken any training classes from other people that are world champions yet?
So, that's next on the list.
Okay.
I met Eric. I met JJ.
Yeah.
Tom Castro. Every time a class comes up in my area, it's like I'm out of town or I'm busy or something work-related going on. So, that's something on the bucket list for this year.
Yeah.
Definitely will happen. You know, outside of still kind of traveling, doing different matches, kind of just building on the brand and, you know, really kind of showing the folks who, you know, don't know a lot about what I do and
the
ones that are, you know, new into joining and, you know, interested and just showing them exactly what's possible.
Right.
You know, really turning into a business and kind of pursuing this full time.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And I'm excited. Are you excited to see where you come in doing classifications with limited
Oh, May 1st. I got one back home. I'm already signed up.
You're ready for it.
I'm already signed up.
You get classified and see where you go, huh?
Exactly.
What is your goal to immediately go for Grandmaster? Do you have other goals before you get to Grandmaster? You want to go through the stages and work through it.
I mean, I don't think I'll qualify.
Well, here's what happened. Yeah. When they came out with PCC to begin with, they didn't have all the classification systems working. Yeah. And from what I hear, I don't know this for sure, but what I heard people talking about, it was really easy to go GM.
Yeah.
Real easy. They don't, they got smart, or they didn't, smart's not the right word. They got educated.
Yeah.
And they realized that they took some different temperatures in different divisions to make it where it's not going to be easy just to pop in as a Grandmaster.
Yeah.
So are you ready for that challenge?
I am. I'm super pumped. I'm curious to see how they score limo. I don't want to.
Limo. It's already got.
It's ingrained.
It's a limo. So limo, like a limousine. Limo. Yep. I got it. I like that. So it's already out there in the culture of this is limo.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, I don't really want to come out and, you know, shoot a classifier and it's like, oh, you're a master. It's like,
okay.
You know, I hear the guys, oh, Take your time, just shoot the stage, you know, you'll stand back a little, and that's not really my flavor, if you will.
Okay.
You know, I want to put those hours in. I want to send those rounds
down
range. Last year, I was able to shoot, you know, 24,000 rounds. And,
wow.
You know, I want to do that or more this year.
Right.
So, you know, I think that practice, that dedication, that drive, that's already kind of instilled in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll speak for itself.
Is your social media blowing up?
It is.
What is your social media that people usually get in touch with yet?
Guns and Butter TV is where you can find me. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube.
Have you been throttled back by the social media powers that be because you're a gun-related company?
Yeah. We call it shadow ban.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, YouTube numbers all go up and all of a sudden it's like, well, I used to get tens of thousands of views and now I'm getting 100.
Yeah.
You're going through the same pains?
Exactly. And I mean, that's another reason that kind of pushed me to be more in the field with the sport instead of kind of an online, like a gun tuber, if you will.
Yep.
You know, obviously there's ways to monetize that. And
there's a lot of gun tubers getting into the sport right now.
Exactly.
I'm very excited about that.
I'm super because it's like, you know, if you go out and you shoot 500 rounds, this gun, one of these guns you're going to, you know, favor towards. That's the gun you take in that division and shoot.
Right.
You know, so seeing those guys kind of get into it is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really start on the gun tuber side.
Yeah.
So seeing a little bit of momentum and then seeing it kind of get snatched away with, you know, videos being demonetized on YouTube and, you know, different threats of banning on, you know, other social platforms. It kind of said, all right, let's just get back in the field and kind of build the business in the sense of let's get more people in the sport.
Have you tried anything on Rumble yet?
You know, I'm talking with people about that.
Rumble is a
next step.
Some of the commercials that Rumble's been doing has been a direct attack at YouTube where they don't get flagged and don't get banned and all this other stuff. So I'm getting ready to start leaning towards the Rumble side myself to see what this true free speech on social media and videos is going to be like. So
you can monetize there a lot easier, I believe, to, you know, meet those qualifications.
But they want their money. They don't care.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's a business.
Yeah. So, you know, if I can drive that traffic that way.
Right.
As long as it's not a Guns and Butter TV already there, that's where you can find me.
Well, you're like me. You start a business and every time something comes up, you go get your brand already on there if you're ever going to use it or not. It's just part of it.
Exactly.
So it's a lot because platforms are popping up all the time.
Nice.
Have you ever thought about being an range officer?
That's something else that, you know, recently just conversations talking about unlimited optics with, you know, some of the USPSA board members. And it's like, well, you know, you kind of got to give back to the sport. And that's what it dawned on me. Like, oh.
You've only been doing this 2 years.
Yeah.
And you're ready to give back already?
Yeah. I mean, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I can't wait to be the old guy talking about this conversation and just looking back and kind of seeing my growth. So, I mean, in any way I can help, you know, I'm here for it, all about it.
When we started getting into shooting sports, the conversation about growing up and everything, very serious, very nonchalant, everything's going good. Your voice and attitude has changed.
Yeah.
Since you start talking about shooting sports. All right.
Exactly.
But are you ready to give that up for the military?
That's the drawback there.
Okay. Because I'm going back to what you said before, because the biggest drawback I see with you going to the military, the biggest one, is you're going to have to shave the beautiful beard.
Yeah. That will be required. That will be required. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe that'll kind of speed me up on some stages or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll work out in my favor. But, hey, right now, you know, I think it's the military aspect will kind of aid my, you know, work business.
Oh, I get it. I get it 100%. But you're, you know, you're driving, yeah. And, you know,
just turn. It's like,
yeah. And I could see if you were at a level of burnout where right. you said, I got to go try something else mm-hmm. and then come back. But you're not even close to being burnout yet.
No.
Yeah. So that's huge.
Just getting warmed up.
All right. Where can people find you at? You said Guns and Butter TV.
Guns and Butter TV, yep.
And that's at Guns and Butter TV, yep. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all of it.
Everything, yep.
Good, good. Anything we left off that you're doing in your business you want to discuss while you got a chance to put some stuff out there?
You know, definitely reach out. You know, if you have questions, gunsandbutterinc.com is the website. You know, you can reach me directly there.
What do you obviously, have on your website? Socials.
You know, probably needs a little bit updating, but okay. Right now
so it's don't just go like, yet. But no, I'm just gonna give it 30 days.
Yeah. But you know, just kind of like my mission statement, a lot of, you know, some of the things that I stand for, kind of mm-hmm. what I'm pushing and, you know, just kind of like an overall introduction to how I got started. So it's really kind of basic right now, but you know, I do direct people there and, you know, tell them to, you know, just take a look and see all the links to the socials are there too. So it's a little bit of, you know, kind of like a base start point for, you know, folks to get in touch with me.
All right.
Right now, I'm really just looking to continue to build, like I said, kind of build out on the brand some more, bring a lot of folks into the sports. It's kind of where I stand. And
I love that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Neat. Well, anything I can do to help continue to support what you're doing, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing. I love what you stood for the first time I met you. I think it might have been at SHOT Show when we first met. Then we hung out at Prairie Fire for a long time. That was like, oh, this is okay.
Yeah,
this is fun here. And I'm glad to see you here at Dragon's Cup.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, thank you so much for, you know, doing the show today and letting people know a little bit about who you are and opening up a little bit about your past. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
It gives you groundwork, let people know where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
that you know, you're in a situation where you're in the sport. Because when you got here at different matches, was it always just an open arm situation or did you find it kind of like, okay, who's the new guy?
It's crazy, you know. I never really got the, you know, who's this guy?
Okay.
You know, you get a couple of eyes here and there, but that's anywhere.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I was really kind of poured into it.
Nice.
And I credit that. I feel like, you know, just the athleticism and being able to move. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if you tighten this up and learn this and do this, you might can, you know, actually have something. I guess people saw the potential. I always felt I had it.
Did you have people want to help you when you were on stages and stuff during the match?
Yeah.
Did that make you feel okay? Or were you like, hey, let me, were you open to criticism?
That's one thing about me. I definitely will take any advice given.
Okay.
As long as it's good advice. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, being able to take that constructive criticism, kind of implement it, take it home, and build on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of kept me going too. It's like, oh, man, I got to remember, you know, do this in my transitions
right.
or, you know, reload this way and, you know, make sure I'm following these rules.
Right.
I think that kind of, you know, stuck with me. And, you know, even still when I go out, you know, I'd see Max and JJ and I'm like, question, you know, stage like this, how would you, you know, and I'm not afraid to speak up. So, you know,
that's good. So you're not in a situation where you're starstruck and you sit back and wait.
No.
That's good.
I need to know. I want to go. Like,
yeah.
You know,
love it.
Share it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
DJ, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. It's amazing. If you have any questions for DJ, he gave you all the ways to get in touch with him through his social media and everything else. But if you have any questions, you don't remember all that after you listen to the podcast, feel free to email me at info@huntershdgold.com. And thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. And until next time, we'll see you at the range soon. Thank you so much, DJ.
Cool.
For a complete written transcript of the Dr. Bill Show, go online to www.icarusmusic.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Bill Show. Let's go to a caller who seems to be having issues communicating with his girlfriend. Caller?
Yeah, I'd had this problem with my girlfriend. She kind of broke up with me. I've been doing everything right. Everything's been going great. We went out. We've gone out for, I don't know, I'd say a good 5-6 months. Everything's good. I mean...
But son, you've got to use communication.
I've done that. I mean, what else can I do? I mean, seriously, I mean, like, I...
Son. Some girls are just bitches.